der Impro-Podcast und vieles mehr.
Vielleicht, manchmal, aber oft mit Gästen.
Von und mit Janine Vasiri
und Carina Steger. Hallo Janine.
Hallo Carina.
Wie geht es dir heute?
Du, wir haben, also müde ein bisschen.
Weiß ich nicht. Müde bist du ein bisschen?
Ja.
Ja, ja.
Es ist, glaube ich, auch, weil, also wir nehmen jetzt auf im Mai.
Ja.
Full Disclosure.
Ja.
Und es war gestern noch Herbst und heute Sommer. Vielleicht liegt es auch daran.
Bist du schon wetterfühlig?
Ja. Ich bin da wirklich alt. Ich hatte auch einmal eine Verletzung am Knöchel. Und den Knöchel spüre ich immer, wenn das Wetter wechselt.
Ah, wirklich? Ich habe eine Verletzung am Handgelenk. Das spüre ich ja immer, wenn das Wetter wechselt. Ja, da denke ich mir so, ei, oh, au, au, ja. Heute wird es wieder, kommt der Regen.
Ja.
Ja.
Ja, und wie geht's dir?
Ja, ganz okay. Ich menstruiere. Ah, ja. Ist jetzt gerade nicht so geil. Mhm. Aber trotzdem bin ich sehr excited heute.
Excited?
Excited.
Weil,
excited, weil
wir so einen tollen Gast haben. Und endlich der Gast da ist, den wir schon angekündigt haben.
Ja, geil,
ja,
gell?
Ja.
Cool. Hörer und Hörerinnen, freut euch. Wir haben heute wieder einen tollen Impro-Gast.
Absolut.
Und diese Folge wird heute sein in Englisch.
Englisch. Yes, ja. Let's switch to English.
We will switch to English now. And I sound like I don't know. And joining us from Berlin today is Imba Lori. Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well, thank you for welcoming me.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Did you understand everything about menstruating and...
I understood most of it, but I was more fascinated with the dialect, because it's so funny when you're used to the Hochdeutsch that I speak. Yeah. Then the dialect of the Austrians is always so funny.
Yes, it's a little different.
It's a little different.
It is. It's significantly different. Like you can, even me with my really, really shitty German can realize that something is different. It's not the same.
No. But we are really, really glad that you are here and that we can talk to you.
Yeah.
Maybe before we start, we met in Berl at our often mentioned festival Dog and Fish.
True.
You were part of it and it was excellent. Mm-hmm. And we are really happy that you are that we can see you again and talk to you about improv.
Was that before the pandemic?
It was before the pandemic. Yes.
Yeah, that was
BC.
Before.
Mm-hmm. BC. Yeah. Wow. It feels like a long time, like another life, basically.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. BC is very good. Before COVID.
Before COVID.
Yes.
That's how he...
That's
with all the respect to Christ, there's another calendar
there
now.
There is another calendar now. That's actually true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But let's start for real. Inbar, how did you get into improv? Tell us about this.
I studied acting in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And I graduated at the year 2000. And then I moved to Tel Aviv a few months later. And there was already an improv group of a few guys from the same school that I went to, mm-hmm. only in Tel Aviv. So it's like I was going to the school in Jerusalem, they were going in Tel Aviv, and they formed a group. And exactly then they were looking for a new woman to join them. That was a time where comedy groups would have like five guys and a woman, you know, like there would be one spot for one woman. And so I auditioned and joined them, and then basically in 2001 I started to improvise with them. Nice. And we were all professional actors, so mm-hmm. we had a lot of common background in a way that we could build on, because back in the days, the year 2001, the internet was not as developed. So it wasn't like you could Google things and, you know, get inspired. Also, improv festivals, international festivals were not so, we weren't aware of the international scene. We had no idea what was going on in the world. We knew of Kit Johnston, we knew of his book, Impro. Yeah. And that was like our guideline. And one of us was a really, really big autodidact, And he was like getting a lot of information, God knows from where. And he was like practicing it with us. And this is how we got into it.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Was it at because you said you are all, or you, we are all professional actors. Was there already in your education as an actor or as an actress, was there already, no part of
improv? Not like that, right? Uh-huh. There would be like, we would improvise in classes, but it would be so different because there would be none of the guidelines that we now as improvisers are aware of or trying to apply, at least for beginners. Mm-hmm. So it was too freestyle. It was too open. It was very confusing. And a lot of time people didn't enjoy it and it went to clusterfucks. And it was really like, but after we started to do this, so now my friends are now teaching in the acting schools.
Okay.
So the autodidact guy that I was telling you about, his name is Amitai Milo. He's now teaching in all the schools in Israel, improvisation.
Excellent. Ah, cool.
And now my students, because I had some students, my students are teaching the acting students. So we kind of started a thing, but back then, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, I didn't study acting, but from what we've learned in this podcast in Austria, it had a similar development, I think. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think that Trixie Brunschko, Beatrix Brunschko, whom you know also, I think, Imbal.
Of course. Yeah.
And she also, she and Jacob are also I think, started teaching as professional improvisers, I would call them.
Right.
Also taught or are teaching at Schauspielschulen, like acting schools now.
Yeah. I think Trixie is now doing this or did for a few years in Hamburg. No, she was teaching improv. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super important. Doing, it's a super important tool for actors. Like, I really don't know. Like, how could you? Yeah, how can I really think it's a very substantial part of actors' education to know how to, you know, just trust that they can create even the smallest scene, but just trusting their instinct as performers, as people who understand drama, as people who understand timing, characters, you know? Mm. There's a lot that you can do with it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I think so too.
What I'm also wondering is what made you stick to improv and not like continuing other acting gigs or jobs?
But I did. I mean, as long as I lived in Tel Aviv for years, I was doing improv, but I was doing sketch comedy. I had a one-woman show. I was writing for television. I was writing for theater. Mm-hmm. I was dubbing. I was doing a lot of stuff. It only became full-time improv when I moved to Berlin in 2015. Ah. Because then I started to get like all those offers to teach outside of Israel, and there was like a moment of like, huh, maybe I can make a living only with that.
Okay.
And at the same time immigrate out of the Middle East, at least for a while.
Yeah.
And so I took this chance and before we know it, it's 11 years now.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you go immediately to Berlin or did you go somewhere else in Germany first? Or was it always Berlin?
I mean, sorry, no offense, but I mean, where would you go in Germany if it's not Berlin? I mean, if you're not German, why would you want to live anywhere else except for Berlin? Freiburg, Düsseldorf, what am I? I mean, sorry, it's not okay. Nice.
What a stupid question.
Okay. No, I mean, I know that there's like some pretty cool scenes also international, especially in Munich and Köln, a lot of stuff is happening. But for me, I think Berlin was always like the multiculturalness of it, the vastness of it. It's fascinating.
Mm. Mm. So how did you, when you moved to Berlin, you said you were offered to teach improv. But how did you build your own career moving to another country and then trying to get started with new people and stuff? How did you do that?
It's interesting that we talked about Trixie before because Trixie kind of had a part of it in it. I mean, the first international festival we're invited to was Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think 2008 or something like that. Like a long time ago. And then this is where I met Theater am Bahnhof and I met Trixie and I met Jacob and I met some of these guys. And then Trixie recommended me to Christoph, who was the Berlin Improv Festival artistic director.
Yes. Uh-huh.
until very recently, and he invited us. Mm-hmm. And when we were invited to Berlin, after that, things just started to take off.
Okay.
We did those two festivals, we got a little bit known, and then we were asked, or at least I was asked repeatedly, also because there was a huge shortage of women, right? And yeah. Festivals uh-huh. wanted to include women, so it was like being the right gender at the right time, and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and now everyone knows you. That's what I feel like.
Everyone.
And
if they don't, they will after this podcast.
They will. After our world famous podcast.
Yes.
I'm sometimes surprised when people go like, and who are you? And I'm like, excuse me? Do you not know who I am? Have you ever heard of improvisational theater, sir?
Yeah. I mean,
what was the question you wanted to ask, Janine?
I forgot, but it's okay.
Did you forget? Oh, well, Imbal's fame, you forgot.
Yes, because I'm blinded by your fame. I cannot.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the festival you were at was in 2019, I think. Right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 2019. Yeah.
And since then, we didn't see each other again. So I
True.
Guess a lot has happened since then.
A lot.
Yes. For us, it was really exciting to convince you to come together with mm-hmm. Saki Sikani. That is a pseudonym he used for the show.
Yeah. And we can use that here, right?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Because you did a very special show and you blew everyone away. It was really, I mean, the people still talk about that show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was really, 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 really cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. He would like to hear it too. I should tell him next time we talk.
Yes. But before we get to that, what happened to you since 2019? What are you up to? What are your, how did your improv career develop? Do you have new groups? Are you part of every single improv group in Berlin?
And of every single improv festival in Europe?
Yes.
And out of Europe?
Actually, 2025 was like a little bit insane. Mm-hmm, in a lot of like so much traveling, and I was in Australia and New Zealand twice. Ooh. And Colombia and Canada, and there was another exotic. It was really, there was like a lot. Oh, and China. Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah, in China as well. Yes, Ooh. Yes.
Wow.
And it was a lot. And this year kind of started more relaxed, and I felt like there was a part of me that like was really, really thankful that I could just stay home and just like have a full few months of just routine of being at home, teaching, doing shows, but like not traveling a lot. And now I think it's going to get a little crazy again, but it's fun. And the other thing I think that really evolved is that since that project with Zaki of playing with the enemies, like it becomes more and more clear to me that the improv that I really want to do for the soul, for my soul, is the improv that is not so mainstreamy,
right?
And is really maybe even more niche than what improv is a niche anyway, but is like the stuff in which you could tell stories or represent stuff that are a little bit more, I don't know how to say it, relevant, uncomfortable, that reflect what we really do feel, because I think we all feel a lot nowadays, right?
Yes.
And things are changing, and I like to explore that also on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since you talked about it already, playing with the enemy, that format, because I don't know if all of our many thousands, millions of listeners have been to our festival. Could you maybe give a little quick description about what the format is about or was about?
So basically, Zaki is, as you said, it's a synonym name. Mm-hmm. It's not his real name. Mm-hmm. And we can't even also expose where he's from, because he comes from an Arab country that has no diplomatic relationships with Israel, and he can go to jail for doing the show with with me. And the idea was that we wanted to do the show together because we are very good friends and we feel like we are literally cousins. Like we experience each other, especially when we are together in Europe, like we are from the same tribe. It's insane to us that somebody decided that we have to be enemies. And the show is like exploring a little bit the things that we have in common, which is the temperature, the culture, the rhythm, the humor, and at the same time try to explore the tensions between Jews, Muslims, Christians, Arabs, Israelis, Middle Easterns, and we work a lot with the cliches around that, and we work on also with. We back in the days we used to read the poems from the Arab Spring. There was a book that collected a lot of songs. It was called a soundtrack. It's called A Soundtrack of a Revolution, and it was a couple of Israelis who gathered a lot of the Arab Spring poetry in Arabic and translated that to Hebrew. And so the book has the Arabic poem and the Hebrew translation page to page. So we used to read it and get inspired by that. And nowadays we feel like so much more is happening. So we are using other things for inspiration. But it's also important to say that since October 2023, it was really hard for us to do the show. I think at least for me, it was like, do you know Maja Dekeleva from Slovenia?
No.
She's from Ljubljana. She's amazing. She's an amazing improviser. If you ever do a festival, you should have her. She's very busy. I don't know if she can make it, but if she could, she's incredible. And she kind of exposed me to this idea of the difference between personal and private. And about the fact that when we are on stage as improvisers, since everything that happens on stage comes from us and we are the content, we are the creators of whatever stories are going to be told. They will always be told from our perspective because we cannot technically be anyone else except ourselves, right? And so using the things that are personal, using our personal experiences, our personal take on the world or things or point of views is needed. Yeah. If we're not using ourselves in a personal way, we're kind of always playing doctor and patient scenes. We can't really touch the core, the heart, you know, the thing. However, you have to pay attention that you don't leak from the personal to the private, because the private is something that needs your, it's your private thing, it's your privacy, you know, it's not ready to be shared. It might never be the right time to share it. It might be something that you need to keep to yourself because it's private. And I think that with trauma is a little bit like that. Like when you go over a trauma, as long as it's traumatic, as long as you're processing it and it's in the private area, it's not the time to put it on stage. It's not the time to talk about this personal thing because it's still very private. But once you feel like maybe you have processed the trauma a little bit and you feel like, oh, I now have, I found a place to it, for it inside myself. I'm working through it. I can see it differently. I have some distance from it. Then absolutely, it's a very valid thing that you can start bringing into your art. And I think for me, the first 2 years of the war and also maybe 2.5 years, it was really hard to go on stage and say like, hey, I'm a Jew and an Israeli. Hey, I'm an Arab. Let's do a show together. Yeah. I mean, even though the show is not that only 100% funny, right?
It's not.
It's just like, it was just too weird. Okay. And so we did our first show in Berlin like a few months ago, and that was really good. Felt very cathartic.
Okay.
But it needed its time, right?
Yeah. Because that would have actually been my question, whether you played pretty soon after October 2023.
No.
And did you feel, because it did play shows before and after that war, did you feel that the audience reacted differently to your shows?
No, but there was definitely more electricity in the air. There was definitely more, oh my God, we are all sitting here in this room and we're doing something that the whole fucking world, more or less, is telling us that we shouldn't. The whole fucking world right now, right and left, is trying to decide for us what is right and what is wrong, who's the victim and who's to blame, who should we exclude and ban in order to solve the problem, right? And we're saying, no, I mean, no, it's only our perspective. We're not thinking we're going to solve the problem of the world or the Middle East like that. We don't take responsibility, of course, for people's trauma, but we are sitting now in a room with those people who choose to see the show, and we're doing something that so many people are telling you that is wrong. You know what I mean?
And I guess, as you said, from every different, like from every side, I can imagine.
Oh my God, this whole thing, the reason why this thing is so traumatic is because if you are a liberal, democratic, progressive, let's say, feminist Israeli, you are very, very confused. And I'm not trying to make myself the victim of this conflict. I am aware of how lucky I am and how many... I'm very, very aware of the real prices that people pay with their lives. But the fact that as that kind of person, you're just standing around and you're seeing the fascists in Israel and you go like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you see what Israel is doing in Gaza and you go like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you want to fucking take this government and throw her to the bin, garbage can of history. And then you look around in the world. This is like 360 degrees of stupidity. And so the only thing you can say to yourself is like, oh yeah, we live in the age of stupid, and let's create art from that, because in this age of absurdity and stupid, there's a lot of material for improvisation and theater.
I absolutely feel that this, and I think, I don't know if how to say this really, but I think improv is such a good format for this, because it's so immediate. Do you know what I mean? Of course you can write plays, and of course you can make movies, and you make documentaries, and you can get interviews and everything, but
which are also very
important. I'm not saying they are not, but improv is a very, like you said before, you can put your personal personal experiences in life into it, and other people might relate to very different aspects than with something that is written and rewritten and rewritten. And I think it's and I think this is excellent.
Yeah, and I also think with improv you can immediately also what I also understand about immediate is you can immediately react to whatever opinion one person in the audience might have. Not in the sense of your very private, is it? Is that now right? Not your very private opinion, but the opinion of that character, of that stage. And I think that also does a lot. You know?
And, absolutely.
And I, like you said before, you like to do improv. I mean, you said this is just one thing you said, and you said a lot of other things, but that's what I remember now. You like to do improv that's a little bit uncomfortable. And I think that also plays into that. Word, the show you do, and the in the time you do it. So I think it's really exciting. And I'm did the show with Saki change because of the break you had to take and because of your relationship?
I think our relationship somehow survived it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm always like, the more this shit goes on, the more I'm like, oh, fuck, are we still friends? Are we still friends? Every time, every once in a while, I would text him, are we still friends? Yes. And they're like, of course, Habibi, of course we are. But but it's very fragile, I feel. And at the same time, I always tell him, I'm telling you, you will see, there will be a day that the Middle East will surprise everyone. And all of, because in the Middle East, everything happens so fast. So that wouldn't even surprise me if within our lifetime, 5 years from now, all of a sudden it will be completely okay for us to do the show. And not only that, we can do it in my place and in his place and in Israel and in the Arab, like, you know, I mean, I choose to, I'm trying to put myself on that timeline. If the timelines split, I'm trying to navigate myself to the timeline where it is happening.
I really hope that's true, because I also feel like we do live in a time of stupidity. And that is represented in more than one country.
Many countries.
So I really hope that's true, and I'm taking this with me, and I have it like a little talisman.
Another thing that we changed, though, is I told you that we're not reading the poems from the Arab Spring anymore, because they can't somehow feel like less relevant. But what we found out that we wanted to do is that we found we looked at the good news of the day on the day of the show, and each one of us chose two good news, and then we. What we did is that I read mine in Hebrew.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Zaki translated them to Arabic, and then he read his in Arabic, and I translated his to Hebrew. Uh-huh. And it was like, we are going to use those two explosive languages in this time of history to talk about good stuff that happens in the world.
Cool.
And it was like some whales somewhere were freed, or it was like crime somewhere dropped, and we just like announced those good things in those languages, and that felt that, and it, and it's, this is why it's absurd, because that alone felt like wow, what an action, what an activist act of reading good news in Arabic and Hebrew at the same time, you know, at the same wow. However,
yes.
Can I change the topic for a second? I mean, sure. Not quite change, but like, I've heard something.
Please,
I've heard an Israeli podcast, a very interesting one of two very very smart men and women in Israel, and they were talking about the revolution of the AI. That's the topic of the podcast, but they're talking about it from a philosophical, social point of view. Ooh, not so much, not so much the crypto bro point of view.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And they talked about what would it be like to live in a world that we have no idea how it's going to look. How do we prepare for a world that's going to change so fundamentally that we don't know how to prepare for the change? Mm-hmm. And then they said that the change is what we need to prepare for. I mean, I don't know if I can explain it in English, but it's not like we have to prepare to a future that's going to be different. It's the fact that the future, that there is no more present, because everything is changing so fast all the time, that fast track train that we're on right now, this is the thing that we need to get used to. We need to get used to living in constant change.
Yeah.
That's the skills we're going to need, right? Mm-hmm. And then they talked about the contra, it's an idea from Taoism. They talk about the fact that the counter movement is the movement of the way. I'm translating it very badly from the book. And the idea is that in the AI world that is coming upon us, everything is going to be so, we will never know what is true and what is not. Mm-hmm. Like reality would lose its value, because we won't be able to identify what really happened and what is fake.
And what is fake, yeah.
And then they said that the only, like, judging from history, what's going to have to happen is a huge contra movement. Mm-hmm. And the way they described that contra movement was 100% improvisation. People wanting to be with people. People wanting to play with people face to face. People wanting to see things happening in real time with this immediate, in the moment, realistic, while you watch it kind of event. And everything that they described, I was like, oh my God, this could be our golden age.
The golden age of improv, right?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. This is what people are going to need. Impro classes, impro shows. You know, they're going to be so fed up with that over-beautifulness of the AI and then the hyper-realisticness of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can't know, you can't believe anything anymore. It's my time. Go to the theater. Give them awards. See what they do with it.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
You'll see it, and you'll also, it does something, it touches also your emotions, which I think
absolutely
is also, yeah, rather than looking at a picture and finding it very beautiful, but eventually it's just made of, out of pixels and made by AI, you know?
Mm. Absolutely. Go to a room, sit there with strangers and have a cathartic experience.
Yeah.
Go back. That is the roots of theater, right?
Yeah. I also hope that this is true, because in my head, I don't know if you know the movie. It's a really bad movie. It's called Idiocracy. Do you know?
I actually know. I know it, and I know it's bad, but I also like it. I think it's kind of good.
I also like it, but also I think it's kind of prophetic. No.
Prosthetic?
No. It
prolific?
It's very realistic to what the future could be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think prophetic is a word, but I don't know how to pronounce it properly. Like a prophet.
I explained it and we don't need the word anymore.
Okay, good.
Okay. Sorry, I touched your knee now. What I hope is that this doesn't have to happen first before what you explained and the people from the podcast imagined happens.
I don't the idiocracy setting you don't want to happen before.
I really don't want that to happen. But then also, I think I work with red noses, and during COVID, we couldn't go into the hospitals. And we created online formats where via Zoom and other ways where we could still get in contact with children and elderly people. And now that COVID is over, this format, we wanted to keep it, but no one wants it anymore. People say, please come and have a real connection with that and not with us and not via the screen.
And via the screen, yeah.
So I think a little part in difficult situations, people want to have the connection already.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think even more than that, I think that the improv world right now is full of like we talk about the age of stupid, right? But I think it's also worth saying that we are so lucky to be surrounded with such cool, really open-minded bunch of people in the improv community worldwide, of people who are, and of course there's like assholes everywhere, but majority of this scene is made of people who are, they have this bone of curiosity.
Yes.
And this is such a important thing, you know, especially in a world like that, right? That you don't just stagnate and just start to hate everyone and not trust anyone. And instead you go like, no, I want to engage. I want to meet other people. Yeah. I want to do stuff with them. Yeah. I want to be playful. I want to explore. And so I think in that sense, I'm so, I don't say proud because it's not the word, but so
blessed.
I'm admiring, I'm sort of like admiring the bunch of people that we usually associate with worldwide.
Yeah, and that's what I think is the cool thing that you said before, because you said at 2025, what you went to New Zealand, Australia, China, basically around the world, and I think that's the plus of a globalized world with lots of internet and stuff like that. You know, you can connect with people whom you eventually can meet in person, and you can develop like friendships or connections.
And
then follow up on those connections, and I think that's an important thing also.
Totally. And we can say what we want about Mark Zuckerberg, but without Mark Zuckerberg, you and I wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, true.
Because if it wasn't for how Facebook blew up on those years, and the improv scene exponentially grew with it, we should be very thankful for Facebook and social media.
Yeah, but we can also allow ourselves to criticize it as well. That's the cool thing,
absolutely.
Actually.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we can hold both ends at the same time, which is, in the age of stupid, this is what you don't know. Yeah. You go, this is right and this is wrong. And you go like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, and you can't do that because there is no black and white.
Yes, it's true, and things are complex.
Yeah.
Yes.
Things are very, very complex.
Yeah.
And you're not the one who's going to figure it out or solve them with your opinions.
We should soon start into the lightning round.
Yes, ma'am.
Nice. Wow, it's so fast, isn't it?
I know. I just wanted to ask one last question.
Please.
And I think you kind of answered it already. I'm still asking it. I don't care. what do you think in times like these, in the age of stupidity, what part can improv play in the times that we have now? What positive effect can it have for people? Not in the, you know, not in the AI future world, but now.
Now in the present.
In the present stupidity.
Look, I think the answer is sort of like timeless, but as long as people are willing to be playful with each other and curious about what they can co-create, what else can we ask for? Like, seriously, what? How is this not the best? I mean, sure, we need scientists and we need mathematicians and we need all those people, absolutely. But if we can find those, and we need doctors and we need all of it. But if these people can find an hour a week or mm-hmm. 2 hours a week in which they can go to a room with other people and be playful, or go to a show and watch other people co-create something inspired by them. I mean, I think this is like, for me, there's something that really puts together the experience of what it is to be human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think for me, it's like also, this is why I wanted to be an actress ever since I remember myself, or why there was never a question about what I'm going to do with my life. Because for me, this like dealing with humans and humanities and characters and situations and telling their stories is like, it's such a huge, I see it as such a fundamental component of our lives as humans in our,
yeah.
So for me, it's like, it was important then, and I think it will be even more important in the present, in the future, and it's definitely important in the future. Mm-hmm. Because again, when you walk around and you see the people in the improv communities, you go like, oh, wow, these are lovely people. Yeah, it feels like everybody's stupid. But then when you have your encounters with the people in worldwide, I get a lot of love, and I appreciate it a lot.
Mm. Very nice. And what do you want to say, Karina?
I want you to say this is actually a nice finishing word for that part.
Yes.
And I think we should go in the lightning round.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Lightning round.
Okay. Imbald, I have to translate from German. Because we thought...
Try me in German. Maybe really? Try me in German okay. first. Why not? For okay. the fun of it.
The first question. Die erste Frage. I will try to speak Hochdeutsch.
Hochdeutsch.
Ja. Welches Erlebnis aus deinem Impro-Leben hat sich dir eingeprägt?
Was ist eingeprägt? Das ist die einzige Wort.
Oh God.
Impressed?
That well, you remember vividly, kind of.
Yeah. That is imprinted in your brain.
Yeah, imprinted. One Erlebnis that is imprinted. I think it's something that I did with Zaki in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. We played a scene in which he was a tyrant, some sort of a king. And I was his servant. And he forced me to snitch on other workers because if not he would harm my family.
Uh-huh.
And so he was like threatening me
to tell
about other people
who
was conspiring against the king, against mm-hmm. the tyrant. Otherwise he would hurt my own daughter, I think, or something like that. They wanted to go to mm-hmm. university, and you know. And for me the scene was so I don't know. It was one of the most... So the next day, just to give you the next day I had to fly back to Berlin. And when I was sitting in the airplane, I realized I was still shaking from that scene.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I was still shaking. And when I realized that, I started crying.
Oh.
Because the pressure and the sadness from playing that character of the servant was so... It's like I channeled something so... I don't know how to explain it. It really touched such a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so full of sadness and fear. But it happened. So everything was vibrating
mm-hmm.
for 48 hours later. And until now, when I remember that scene, I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
So it's one of them, but yeah, to our topic, it's relevant.
Wow. Very emotional.
Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why we say it's not always lightning.
Right? Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so should I try again in German or English?
Yeah.
Okay. Welchen Rat würdest du deinem Impro-Anfänger ich geben?
I think just pay attention to what, like, be curious about what the other person is doing. Like, just understand that whatever's going to happen that's going to be fun is not going to happen with you in your own miserable mind. It's going to happen by you paying attention to the other person and allowing them to inspire you.
Mm. Mm.
So you basically just react to what you see with the other person. And if you put your intention on them and all your focus and curiosity on them, you'll have a great time.
I want this printed on a t-shirt. Okay.
It's too long for a t-shirt. You need an overall.
Well,
you
need like a little t-shirt dress.
Well, I can do that, or I ask AI to shorten it for me. Okay, next question. Welcher Impro-Fail ist dir in Erinnerung geblieben?
Fail?
Yeah.
Like failure?
Like failure, yeah.
Oh my God. That was in 2000, maybe 6, maybe 5, maybe 4, who knows. We were supposed to do a TV show in Israel, me and that group I was telling you about from Tel Aviv. And we started rehearsals and, you know, starting to figure out the concept. It was in one of the biggest channels in Israel. It was the comedy channel.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy Central, it was called.
Okay.
So they wanted, it was the beginning of Comedy Central, and we were supposed to do that show and da 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 da. And then there was the biggest gathering of all the Israeli television industry in a city in the north of Israel. Right. And it's like the biggest market, and everybody who has anything to do with television is there. And they decided that we were going to do a 20 minutes thing in a tent full of those people. We just improvise for them for 20 minutes.
What, like a showcase?
A little bit of a showcase of what we can do.
Oh.
Not only was our one of the worst shows of our lives, we failed in front of all of the Israeli television industry, who's and who's. It was so fucking painful.
Oh no.
Just to give you an idea, we were supposed to stay in that place for 2 more nights after that because it's a huge event, it's a market. Yeah. We did not leave the Airbnb. We played cards the whole time. We couldn't dare to show our faces in that place.
Oh no.
And on Sunday, which is Monday in Israel, Sunday is your Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, they canceled us.
Oh.
No.
Just as the weekend finished. I think it's the most horrific thing that happened to me in my professional life.
Yeah, it sounds quite horrible.
Yes, it sounds
horrible.
And
if I knew then what I know now, I would tell them, no, we're not doing this show.
Yeah.
It's meant to fail.
Yeah.
But we were young and naive.
Yes, we all have experiences like this where we were young and naive and didn't say no.
And then you try to do something and just say yes to everything, and then it's like, nah,
yes.
Why did I do that?
Yeah.
We live and learn, ladies. We live and learn.
Okay, let's just move on and think about happier things. Like, for example, auf welchen Charakter kannst du auf der Improbühne immer wieder zurückgreifen?
I think it's the guy who's a little bit dumb. Who's like, hey, what's up? Like, whenever I don't know what to do, I'm just going to this guy. And he's a little bit dumb, a little bit naive, good-hearted.
Okay.
A little bit behind, but really nice guy. Yeah.
Very nice. Welcher Impro-Spieler oder welche Impro-Spielerin inspiriert dich?
Maya Dekelevalapani.
Okay.
Who works with Trixie? Oh my God, they have a format that's called Foreplay. It's with Rama Nicholas from Australia, from Melbourne, and Lina.
Oh,
Lina. What's her last name? Do you know which Lina I mean?
Lina.
I mean Lina.
Yeah, blonde.
I have no idea. No, I'm sorry.
Know. But
I was just looking at Janine because Janine was like, What did you want to say?
Did she tell us about this when she was here?
Trixie?
Yeah. Trixie was also in our podcast, and I'm just thinking maybe she told us about it. But yeah, it okay.
We will have to listen to episode number to figure it out.
Earlier, an episode that was earlier. But we put it in the show notes.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think you should, because Maya for me is doing stuff that is so inspiring and is bordering with performance, yeah. and it's weird and beautiful and amazing. And those three women, four women, are here. Wait, yes, what's her name? I'm just sorry. You can cut it later, but I just can't remember the name. Trixie,
yes.
Nila Kiesling.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She's I've heard about her name. I think Trixie told us.
Yes, yeah, because yes. She told us about this when she was in the podcast. Yeah. And now,
Rama Nicolas and Maya de Calavalapagna. And it's just, wow. I saw it last time we were all together in Canberra, in Australia.
Yeah.
And they did that show and I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And now I'm thinking, I think Peter from Iglo also told us about Maya,
yeah,
whose last name I cannot pronounce.
Maybe that's why we didn't recognize it immediately.
Yeah, but I think Peter also talked about Maya.
We are very good listeners.
They live in the same city and they work a lot together.
We are very good podcast hosts. I see that now. Okay. Mit wem würdest du gerne einmal Impro spielen oder etwas auf der Bühne machen, egal wo diese Person herkommt? Also auch egal welchen Hintergrund künstlerisch diese Person hat.
That is not necessarily an improviser, you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It can be
it
an
can
improviser.
It can be, but it doesn't have
doesn't
to.
Doesn't have to be, yeah.
Oh, wow. What a good question. I don't know. But I... Let me think. I don't know. I feel like I have so much options right now in my brain, I can't pick one. That would be like... I would like to improvise with Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
Oh, with Michael Fassbender.
Mm-hmm. Because he's sexy. That's the only reason. I think he's a wonderful actor too, but
yeah.
But just because he's sexy. No, I think he's a wonderful actor and I love the stuff that he does. Oh, I know. Yeah. I want to play in a Wes Anderson movie.
Yes.
Oh.
And then if you can let me improvise a little bit, okay. That would be like the dream.
Yeah. So Wes and Michael, if you're listening.
Because we are on first name base.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Janine and I with
Wes.
Our famous podcast.
So Michael, Wes.
Wes and Mike. Mikey.
Mike.
I call you Mike.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have... sorry, I'm. Do you?
Yeah. No.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm just imagining you and I, Janine, sitting with Mikey and Wes with our little drinkies like this. So as Imbal said, you know, could you have learned a movie?
Okay.
You sorry, continue. Give her a call.
I'm moving on. Do you have a book tip? I started in English. hast du einen Buchtipp zum Thema Impro für uns?
Oh my God. Those are difficult questions because...
Oh, you have a bookshelf right there.
I know because I remember that I read a book lately and I thought to myself, improvisers are gonna have a blast reading it. No, I mean, a good improv book. God, there was something lately. Damn it, I can't remember, but
it's
there
okay.
was.
Okay, no problem. If it comes to you, you can tell us later.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay. Gibt es ein Impro-Format, das dich nervt?
Theater sports.
Yes.
Right.
Es nervt mich.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I can be in a really good particular mood and then I can do like a maestro, I can enjoy it or some theater sports, but overall, like if it's like a little bit, the competition now, God, why do we have to compete?
Yes. Yeah. Gibt es, also Gegenfrage, welches Impro-Format magst du am liebsten?
Ich habe keinen.
Okay.
I don't have one. I think it depends on the people and on what you're looking for, but a format as a format, I don't really have one.
Okay, right. Good. It's actually a good answer. It always depends on the people. Was würdest du gerne noch auf der Bühne ausprobieren?
I think to go deeper into the kind of improvisation that is happening with Zaki and also with Rashid. Sinti from, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, from Leipzig, Berlin. I don't know if you know him. He's like another improv partner of mine, and we're doing a show that's called The Loophole. And these are the kind of shows that are like deeping into the, you know, the darker side of life, which I love, but not dark for the same sake of darkness, just dark as another color on the palette of colors on our lives, right? The bittersweet, the sad, funny. And the format that Maya is hopefully going to direct in the Improv Festival in Berlin 2027 in April. I'm going to artistically direct it again, and I want her very much to do something that is bordering with performance.
Yes.
And this, I can't wait to be in rehearsals with her.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Okay.
Totally.
Maybe you answered this question. I'm still going to ask it. Welche Impro-Show hast du zuletzt aus dem Publikum so richtig genossen?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
With the ladies. But there was another one. There was another one lately. Oh, fuck, who was it? I don't remember. It wasn't lately, but I think last year I saw Pompanuk. I don't know what they call themselves. Pompanukel Ananas, whatever.
Okay.
It's the three French guys. It's Gaël, Cédric, and Dan. Do you know them?
No.
They're all French, and they have this like, okay, they have a format that they do, and which is free form, right?
Right.
And they are the only ones in the world, as far as I am concerned, that are allowed to do a free form. Because I think that usually people do free form because they don't know how to end scene, they don't know how to tell fully blown stories because they're trying to find the easy way out. And then they're making a free form, and it's about everything and it's about nothing. But when these guys do free form, oh my God. And so this, I'm going to also ask Gaël to give me a little bit of a little bit of his wisdom on that topic this summer. We're going to do a little bit of an exchange on that one.
Oh, maybe we should invite him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the group called? Pumpernickel?
No.
What?
Jesus, man, I don't know. It's a French name. It's so fucking complicated.
I'll Google
it. It's something with ananas and it's something with pom-pom-pom-pom. Pumpernickel Ananas. No, it's something.
We will find it.
We'll find it.
Yeah.
We'll find it.
Okay.
Okay. Was ist deine Lieblingsaufwärmübung?
Tanzen.
Okay. Alone or with others?
No, I love mind meld, and I love it when people can mirror each other or do something together in movement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really love it. Yeah, and I love telling one word at a time stories too.
Yeah.
Ine, ananas and pamplemousse.
Ananas and pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse.
Yeah.
Oui, oui. Ananas and pamplemousse. These nice guys. Name. Oh my God, nice. They're great. They're so great.
Letzte Frage. Hast du ein persönliches Ritual, bevor du auf die Bühne gehst?
Yes, but it's private.
Okay. Oh. That's fine.
But also, just to say, it's not a ritual. It's just a little thing of like, you know, tuning myself. But at the same time, I want to say that I love it the best when there is no big segregation from life to the show. Uh-huh. And what I mean is that I don't have to go through some extra preparation. I love it when I have my day, and as part of my day I arrive to the theater. As part of that I, boom, lights are on, I'm on the stage, I'm doing it, and then lights are off, I'm back to my life. Because I feel that within the flow of life, when the show becomes just another thing that is part of life and doesn't become this like super unique thing that has to be super good or super this or super that, but you just come in the way you are. Oh, moreover, I don't have to be in a certain position or a certain mode. I could just be who I am, and with who I am in that moment, I could do the best show no matter what.
Mm, right?
This would be the ideal situation. Of course, it's not like that all the time because we are humans and sometimes it's cold and sometimes you ate too much noodles before the show. But ideally, that would be it.
Okay. Right. Very nice. Thank you for doing this lightning round with us. I cannot talk anymore.
Yeah.
It was a very Central European lightning. Took its time.
Yes. Took its time. We had to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Is now the time you want to say your thing?
No, I forgot it, of course.
Of course you did.
Wirklich? Oh my God.
Drinkless.
Okay.
But you know, I remembered a book. Oh. It's not really a book. It's a booklet. A student of mine made it. It's called Find Your Inner Dog. Uh-huh. And she just illustrated all kind of stuff that we talked about in our yearly masterclass, Acting for Improvisers. Oh. So it's a 1-year class and it's once a month. There's a weekend. So she took notes and then she started to make illustrations with the notes that she took. And now it's a beautiful booklet with amazing illustrations that she made. Her name is Babette Hinterlassen. Wow, I'm so bad with names. Anyway,
but can you buy it? Is it available?
Yes.
Oh,
it is very available.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah. Find your inner dog.
Find your inner dog. We will find it and put it in.
We
show
will
notes.
find your inner dog.
We
will find the name of Babette, the last name, and then we'll put it in the show notes.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, and if not, ask me for it.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. And we also wanted to ask you about another thing.
Yes.
The last segment, correct? No? I thought you did the you laid me.
I looked at you because I thought, oh look, I did a little segue, and then I forgot that we always say the last
segment
of the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Segment is one of my favorite words. Yeah. That's why
it's
a
beautiful word.
She makes
segment.
Me do it, or she lets me.
How
do
you
it.
Say? Can you say it in German? Like you say it in German?
Segment. Yeah. Yes.
So we come to the last
segment.
Yeah, zum letzten Segment.
Yes.
Zum.
We are coming.
But you didn't want to say that. But let's come to the last segment in our podcast. And yes, you do the button thing.
Yeah, I would do the button. Tipp des Monats. So Imbal, do you have any recommendations for our listeners for the month of July?
Or later?
So I think Gael is doing the Flock Impro Festival in July.
Uh-huh.
Right, in Amsterdam, which is always fun. So I would recommend that. And what else is happening in July? Oh, I'm going to be in Bulgaria doing a 3-day retreat in the nature.
Oh.
And that is something that people can sign up for. Last time I checked, there were a few spots. It's in the end of July.
Oh, very nice.
And so these are my July recommendations.
Nice. Retreat into nature. And go to the improv festival in Amsterdam.
Flock Festival.
Flock Festival. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very nice. And if people want to see you, go to Berlin. We highly recommend it. Imbal is famous, as we know.
Yeah.
And
The best way is if people want to join the newsletter, then I always inform about intensive classes that I do or festivals that I'm going to be in. So it's a great way to stay in touch.
Yeah. How can you sign up for your newsletter?
You get a link from me. Maybe you can also put it in the show notes.
Yes.
Can we put it in the show notes? Because we'll do that.
Yeah. That will be nice.
We'll do.
Very nice.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
We did it.
All right, ladies. Yes, we did. Oh my God, it was so fast.
Yes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having.
And have a wonderful, more relaxed 2026 than 2025.
Than 2025, mean. Yeah.
Yeah. But still with fun adventures.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't forget the fun adventures.
They are
exactly.
Important. Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
Back at you.
Good.
And we will hear each other in August.
That's right. We absolutely know what we are going to do.
Because but we won't tell yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Tune in.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And baba.
Tschüssi.